This is Matthew. It's chapter 2. It's verses 13 through 23. It's a part of the Christmas story that isn't quite as exciting as the rest of it, but no less important. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, "Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. This was done in accordance with what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her child. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream, so he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let us pray. Lord, on this day, would you help us to understand this story and how it might impact our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Barb and I have a wonderful clergy friend and her family. Her name is Rosemary, and she lives in and around Houston. A few years back, in 2008, she was living in a city called League City. And if you drew a line between Galveston and Houston, about halfway there, you'd be in League City. This was the year 2008 that I'm talking about, and I was very concerned for Rosemary, her husband Terry, and her mom. You see, Hurricane Ike was coming. Hurricane Ike came right over the top of Galveston, did a terrible, terrible amount of damage, and was headed for my friend Rosemary. And so I had called her, and we were texting and emailing. And what I really wanted most, because I knew they were in danger, what I really wanted most was for them to get out of town, go north. There was plenty of people that they knew that they could go and seek shelter with. And because Rosemary is a pastor, she stayed there. But I was really worried. I wanted them to be out of danger. Jesus was in danger. And you remember that part of the story. The Magi, we call them, the three kings sometimes. They're coming from the east. They have seen this star in the sky. They know this new king has been born, and they want to come and see him and bring him gifts. And as they move, they had a pretty good entourage. As they move, word is out that they're looking for this king. And then another king, King Herod, who surely didn't want to have another king in town, sent for them. He talked to them. He lied to them. And he said, you know, I really want to meet this king, and I want to worship him. And so when you find him, will you come back to me? And then let me know where he is, because I want to go see him. And Herod, of course, wanted to find him to kill him. God warned the Magi. He warned Joseph. He used dreams to do it. And he warned them that Herod was up to no good. So the Magi went back a different way. And Joseph, we know, took Mary and the baby, and they went to Egypt. You know, we don't know a lot about Joseph from the scriptures. We do know that he cared deeply for Mary. He was so concerned about, you know, not wanting her to be publicly disgraced. Oh, he was going to divorce her, but he would do it very, very quietly. We do know that he's an obedient man, obedient to God, that is, because when God spoke to him and said, you know, you should go ahead and marry this girl, it'll be okay, He agreed he would marry Mary. And we also know that he cared so much for his family, Mary and the baby, that he would do whatever is necessary to protect them. In the middle of the night, when he got the word that Jesus was in danger, he quickly packed up and they left, headed for Egypt, which was not going to be a picnic there, because the Jews were not exactly welcome in Egypt. Now, the reason that Jesus, the Messiah, came into this world, as you know, is to save us. But we need to see in this that from the very beginning, he was receiving threats on his life. But in the middle of all of the threats, of all of the things that happened in his life and his ministry, God was protecting him. And God continues to protect his children even today. So there's a couple things I want to talk about this morning from these scriptures. And one of them was about the fact that it's in verse 23. He will be called a Nazarene. It was important in those days to know the full name of somebody and to know a little bit about where they lived. There were plenty of boys named Jesus around, and so by identifying Jesus with the city, that was one way of making sure you had the right Jesus. You know, the devil listens to your prayers. And so when I want to really bug him, then I pray in Jesus of Nazareth, just to remind him of his defeat. He tried to use King Herod. Didn't work. But then again, sometimes the town that you're from, it doesn't get you very far. And John's gospel, you know, Jesus was out. He was asking the ones that would be the disciples to come follow him. And he had asked Philip to come and be with him. And then Philip ran and he found Nathanael. And he said, we've found him. We've found the one that Moses talked about. This is the one. This is the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael looked at him and said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? In making sure that the prophecy came true and Jesus was coming from Nazareth, he could be called a Nazarene, God was announcing something, and we sometimes miss it. And that is the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, would be a humble Messiah. He would come from a place that wasn't so well known. He would come just as God wanted him to come, not what the people were expecting. And so the connection is made there to the Old Testament prediction about Nazareth. Names are important. I looked up mine on the internet. Donald is Gaelic for the ruler of the world. And I was really excited about reading that, and I'm looking at the computer screen, and then I read the next line, and Donald is the name of a cartoon duck by Disney. In the early times of the Christian church, the Jews would call them the sect of the Nazarenes, and it was not a polite name to them. Later on, the pagans would call the believers Christianoi, Christians, Christ's people, and it was meant as a badge of contempt. And early in the second century, when a Roman soldier stopped you and said, "Are you a Christian?" you had to be careful about your answer. Because if you said yes, your life was in peril. Just as the name Nazarene was for Jesus, so the name Christian is a badge of honor. But also, it's a badge of scorn. It's a designation for persecution in this world. We don't see too much of it in the United States, but some. There are churches that are burned from time to time simply because they're Christian churches. In China, even in this day and age, you can be in all kinds of trouble if you have Christian literature, if you have a Christian church. And we all know what has happened in recent years in the face of radical Islamic terrorism, who will attack people and nations because they are Christian. Just a little bit ago, I was reading a Christian publication. There was a story in there about a man named Mark, his wife Lara, and their two children. And they had worked with one of the Bible translation missionary organizations, and they had finally fulfilled their dream. They were in the field. They were in an Islamic country, and they were translating Bibles into the languages that were there. One Sunday, two Islamic terrorists ran into the sanctuary in the middle of the worship service and threw a few hand grenades around. The explosion killed 5 people. Mark was wounded. He recovered. Laura and the kids were okay. The Muslims took credit for all that, and when they were asked why that place, and they said, "Oh, because it's a Christian place." The name that we have, the name that we hold, is such an honor. And yet, for those who don't believe in him, it's such a threat to them, and it's a challenge to us. Mark was asked by the reporters if they were leaving now, and he said, no, we're not leaving. He says, "My source of security is in the name of God. So we're staying." Jesus was coming. It was no surprise that he would be from Nazareth. That had been prophesied in Isaiah. But Jesus wasn't coming to fulfill the prophecy like the people expected. Jesus was going to be a humble king. He was going to come from the common people. He was a man of sorrows that was often despised. And yet, he ultimately was the triumph of God over sin in this world, yours and mine. And he died for you and for me on the cross. In our time, in this world, my friends, our walk with Jesus may involve some kind of suffering from time to time. Persecution has been the fate of the Christian church ever since the beginning. And so we should not be too nervous about it, because the church is triumphant over all. As children of God, we are triumphant over the forces of evil. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said this, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." The other thing I want to talk about this morning a little bit is Joseph as the adoptive father of Jesus. Matthew introduces us to Joseph in the first time through an angel that appears to him and talks to him. That angel announces this miraculous conception that has occurred and that it was going to be all right. It would be okay. Joseph shows up for the last time in Matthew's gospel when, after another visitation, another dream, he gets word that Herod has died. It's okay to go back home. And then he returns to Nazareth. This is a space of only about 3 years, according to Josephus, the historian. And so all of these events must have caused Joseph's head to spin. So many things happening so fast. What tremendous love for his wife and son he must have had, because he steadfastly guided them and protected them. And in Joseph, we see this wonderful example of a father that goes against public opinion, religious training, and political oppression to obey God and to protect his family. Joseph, you see, is a powerful example for all of us who are parents, because our children are a gift from God. God, their heavenly Father. This is one of the most powerful things that are recognized in an infant dedication or a baptism or the baptism of a child or the dedication of a child. We express our parental privilege in those times to be giving our children back to God. But let me tell you, parenting has its challenges. As a pastor, I have been a part of, and I hear many other stories of the times when your children are injured or they're ill. And then sometimes you have to leave the hospital and go home and trust them into the care of the physicians, the nursing staff, everyone else that works at the hospital. But let me tell you the stories when I hear them, for those that know Jesus, that have given their life to them, they have hope, they have peace, they have an understanding, because they know that God is watching over their children. It's in those times when we realize that our wonderful children really have belonged to God all along. And so we trust that to him, just as Joseph trusted God to guide him and lead him about protecting Jesus. There's a great peace that comes over us whenever we allow our children to be into God's will. Like so many, I thought, good, when the girls have grown up, it'll be a lot easier. And I have discovered a great power in prayer, to be in prayer for them all the time, and their husbands, and our granddaughter Bella. And so I learned what people had told me, and I thought, well, you are a parent forever, and you care for your children. They are certainly adults. When they grow up, they are certainly capable and good at taking care of their own lives, but they never cease to be your children. And so you continue to keep them covered in prayers, asking for God's protection. Walter Wengeren is a Lutheran pastor. He writes books and magazine articles, and he and his wife have been blessed that they have children born of their marriage, and they have children that have been adopted into the family. And Walter writes that he has learned much from Joseph about this holy mystery of parenting another's child. In his writing, Walter speaks of what he has learned from this whole story of Joseph. He tells all parents that loving our children correctly means to raise them for their Heavenly Father, in whose image they have been created. So I want to close this morning with some of his words. This came from an article that he had in Christianity Today. Walter writes, "In all our children's faces is the image of their Creator. When any parents, by loving God, love their children right, and when by following God they lead their children out of the house into adulthood and the purpose for which they were born, then in that fullness they too will find the face of God the Father, who had lent them their children in the first place." And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, praise be to God for the example of Joseph.